Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth alongside Jason Longshore. Happy Labor Day to you. Hope hope you had a great weekend. Hope your Labor Day is going well. Hope you're not having to labor on this Labor Day. Hope you got the day off like Andy and Randy. Guys will be back with you tomorrow. Jason and I having a good time being able to fill in for Andy and Randy today. Jason, what's on tap for you today? What's happening the rest of your Labor Day?
Getting caught up for a busy week coming up. There's two Atlanta United games this week, so there's some studying for me to do there. I'll be calling some college soccer on Sunday as well up in Chattanooga, so I've got prep there. Three games by the end of the week. I got a lot of homework to do.
It's a busy week for you. Time to break out the colored ink pens and the highlighter, right?
Oh, yeah. The colored ink pens have become a thing, definitely. That's a big part of my prep.
All right, let's get into what's trending today. We'll take a look at the top stories on this Labor Day 2020.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for what's trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Braves and Marlins just about ready to get it going in their first game of this series that will first pitch, well, set for about 8 minutes from right now. Braves beat the Nationals yesterday 10-3. Freddie Freeman goes yard. Second grand slam this week. Marcelo Zuna continues to swing the hot bat. He goes 3-for-5, has 4 RBIs. That's his 13th home run of the year. Ian Anderson gets the start for the Braves today. He'll go against Jose Urena, that the Braves have absolutely owned since he took a cheap shot at Ronald Acuna. This year, by the way, Jose Urena 0-2 with an ERA of 11 against the Braves, and Atlanta hitting 4-15 against that Joker. So good luck to the Braves again today. Jason, look, despite all of the, you know, all of the hand-wringing that I think we as Braves fans have gone through about this club, you look up, it's Labor Day, and the Braves are in first place still in the National League East.
Yeah, 3-game lead in the East and the second best team in the National League. I mean, it's not as bad as it seems. It's just maybe a lot of this has to do with when you look out west at the Dodgers and you know what you could be facing if you do get to the NLCS. And do you see the Braves being able to find a way past that juggernaut?
No, I think that's exactly what it is. I think it is exactly how do you deal with L.A. and what the Dodgers have put together, not just offensively, but what they have in that pitching staff as well in a short series to try to win 4 games against them to get to the World Series. That's tough. And that's exactly the way I look at it and how I look at it from a Braves standpoint. I guess they've kind of spoiled me a little bit. I expect them to win the National League East, expected them to win it coming into this season. Even pre-COVID, I expected them to win it. So that's kind of the way I look at it. Now, you got the Phillies that have made a run, and Philadelphia is playing Well, they were playing really good. They've won 7 out of their last 10, but they've dropped 2 in a row now after going on really a hot stretch there for a while. Braves do have the second best record in the National League. So we'll see how the East plays out. You kind of feel like the Marlins, and I know they had the good start, an awkward start because of a couple of issues with COVID-19 that forced them to have to sit for a little while. And I felt like the entire time, like eventually the Marlins were going to come back to earth. And I think that's what we're starting to see now. The fact that they have lost 7 out of their last 10. You know, the Mets are the Mets. They're not ready yet. And, as a Braves fan, I can't stand the Nationals. I can't stand the Nationals. I can't stand the Phillies. Those are the two baseball teams that I can't stand them. Would not bother me at all if they both lost every game the rest of the way. So I do take a lot of joy in looking at the standings and seeing the Nationals 9.5 games back of the Braves and dead last with the next to worst record in the National League right now. So,
and you'll see them for 4 more games. You got 20 games left. You'll see a trip to Washington to face the Nationals 4 times after the series at home with Miami. You have another 4-game set with Miami. That's a pretty friendly schedule down the stretch here for the Braves.
And the Padres, if you take a look around the National League, the Central is always, I mean, it seems like with the Cubs, the Cardinals, and the Brewers, you've got 4 teams there or 3 teams there that can really compete. I think it's going to come down to either the Cubs or the Cardinals. You go out west, there's the Dodgers. But that lead over the Padres is now sitting at 5 games. I don't know. I like what the Padres have done. I like the fact that it feels like San Diego's kind of been swinging for the fences here to try to win this year. I don't know if they're going to be able to catch the Dodgers, but with an expanded playoffs, San Diego may be one team that, because of what they do have now, San Diego may be one team in the National League that outside of the Dodgers that I really don't want to have to face in the postseason.
Yeah, we haven't had a chance to get into this from yesterday. I wanted to ask you about it. Did you see the whole situation with Joe West and Mike Rizzo, the Washington GM, where West stopped the game and was calling for security to potentially throw Rizzo out?
Yeah, and where was Mike Rizzo in this? I thought he was in his booth.
He's in like the second level of the stands. I guess it was his booth that he was supposed to be in.
He was in a suite.
There was some comment about he wasn't wearing a mask up there, but I didn't see anybody near him. I guess maybe the rule is if you're anywhere in the seating bowl, you have to have a mask on, but shouldn't Joe West maybe be paying attention to a little more what's going on in the field?
Yeah, good eyes for Joe West to be able to see a guy up there without a mask on because that's some pretty good eyesight on his part. I don't know that I would have noticed that, but I had the Braves game on yesterday and watched a good part of it, and it got to be a blowout, and we still had the game on, but we doing things around the house. And I heard, Chip and Francoeur talk about it a little bit yesterday when it was going on, but I never got the exact story about what was happening. So it was basically just him not wearing a mask.
Either that, or he had some things to say without his mask on as well, which maybe got Joe West's attention.
Well, and that could be, especially if you're, in an empty stadium, you say it loud enough, somebody can hear. So maybe that had something to do with it. But was it? I think that's the first time we've had something like that this year. I bet Joe West didn't expect to start this season that he'd get the opportunity to actually throw somebody out of the stadium.
Throw somebody out from the second level of the stadium.
Exactly. Falcons made some roster cuts from over the weekend. Some notable cuts for the Falcons: Laquan Treadwell, former first-round pick. He was given his walking papers. He was not re-signed, by the way, to the practice squad. We talked about it earlier, the fact that a guy that just was never able to get open in the NFL. I feel like what he did in college, he was a very good receiver in college, but to me, he's one of those guys that physically, he was so physically gifted in college that he could kind of just out-athlete people. And in the NFL, you're going to up against other guys every week and every day, for that matter, that also are so physically gifted athletically that it's really tough to kind of use those moves on them to get open like you could in college. And so it wasn't there for Laquon Treadwell, and he's not a guy that's going to be able to help you on special teams. So Falcons part ways with him. Kirk Benkert, he gets cut, and then he gets brought back. Falcons actually put two quarterbacks on the practice squad yesterday. Benkert was one, and Kyle Laletta was the other quarterback that they signed to the practice squad. Sean Harlow, a name Falcon fans will know. He spent some time on the 53-man, has started games on the offensive line before. He's on the practice squad. Chris Rowland, a guy that I think a lot of us felt like might have had the inside track on winning that kick return job. Chris Rowland was released by the Falcons and then re-signed to the practice squad yesterday. No real big surprises yesterday for me, Jason, in terms of what the Falcons did with the 53-man, or for that matter, even the practice squad.
No, not really. I mean, the practice squad's going to be managed differently this year. You're going to have guys who are maybe a little bit closer to being ready to step in and play, because there's always that concern that you have players come down sick and you have to turn to the practice squad, who's going to be kept separate, you know, even to the point of Philadelphia having a quarterback on the practice squad who's going to participate via Zoom meetings from Texas. But in case you have a problem, he'll be ready to step in. That practice
and he's going to make $12,000 a week doing it.
You know, that would be nice. I'll take some Zoom meetings for $12,000 a week and be ready to step in if needed. Be a nice position to be in. Now, I think Treadwell was a good risk to take. You know, you had to see what you could get out of him. The potential, you know, we've all kind of waited to see if it would happen at the NFL level. It just hasn't. But you got him on a 1 year, a senior minimum. You know, it didn't work out, so it's not a big hit to you. If he had had a preseason, would it have been different? Maybe, but that's just not the way it played out. And without being able to help you on special teams, there's not a spot for him.
We got a couple of NBA games that were played yesterday. We got a couple more that are on tap for today as the conference semifinals continue on. Sean Devaney, who covers the NBA for Forbes and Heavy.com, he's going to join us. We'll talk a little NBA with him, some big picture stuff about what's happening around the NBA and kind of how it has gone during a pandemic for the league as well to get to this point of the conference semifinals. Two games coming up today on TNT. You got Boston and Toronto at 6:30, and then later on, 9 o'clock tonight, the Clippers and the Nuggets. Both of those series are tied. Boston, Toronto tied at 2. Clippers, Nuggets tied at 1. And one other quick note, Jason, something that I wanted to mention earlier, and I failed to do so, especially when we were talking baseball. Condolences to Baseball Hall of Famer Lou Brock's family. Lou Brock, at one time, was the stolen base leader in Major League Baseball, passed away yesterday, 81 years old. He retired in 1979 as the all-time stolen base leader. By all accounts, a great guy. A heck of a guy. A little bit ahead of me. I was still in single digits as a kid when he retired, so I don't really have any memories of watching Lou Brock play. But certainly a guy that, you know, you grow up hearing about, you collect the baseball cards, and a great Hall of Famer. It had a lot of health conditions, blood cancer, diabetes caused him to lose part of his leg that he had to have amputated. But I didn't want to go all the way through this show and not mention Lou Brock passing away yesterday at 81.
Yeah, first year Hall of Famer in 1985. We think of the stolen bases, but he's in the 3,000 hit club as well. And had a very long career, you know, synonymous with baseball in St. Louis. A legend who changed the way the game's played in a lot of ways. Created a path for guys like Ricky Henderson and others who followed.
Sean Devaney, he's an NBA writer for Forbes and Heavy.com. He'll join us. We'll talk about the NBA playoffs. That's coming up next year. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, Jason Longshore on a Labor Day Monday. Glad to be with you today. In for Andy and Randy here on the Midday Show. No worries. Your guys are good. They'll be back with you again tomorrow on the Midday Show. But Jason and I having a good time, able to hang out for a little bit today. Sean Devaney, waiting to hear back from him from Forbes and Heavy.com, where he's covered the NBA for a long time. Hopefully we can catch up with Sean and talk a little bit about these NBA playoffs real quick, Jason, because we haven't really touched much on it, and I don't want to get into a real deep dive on BYU and Navy tonight, but I did want to make note that that game is at 8 o'clock on ESPN. And then, did you happen to see the guidelines that the Big 12 has handed out? It came out over the weekend, where the Big 12 has basically said, if you've got at least 53 players available, you got 7 offensive linemen, 4 interior defensive linemen, and a quarterback, you're going to have to play the game. Otherwise, it's a forfeit.
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, I guess the worry is gamesmanship, trying to get games rescheduled, and you just don't have the calendar to do it. The SEC and the ACC are going to have something like that announced this week, I would assume. And it's a must. I mean, it's just a must because of the situation that we're in here. I think the SEC right now is allowing one game to have the date changed. And if it's not played on that date, it's either a no contest or a forfeit, depending on the situation.
Yeah, if teams have fewer than 53 players available and don't meet the position benchmarks, the game would be declared a no contest if it can't be moved to a later date. You wondered. Look, it's going to be unlike anything we have seen as college football got underway really over the weekend, and you've got BYU and Navy tonight. You've got NBA action going on later today as well, and glad to head out on the WaitFor.com hotline and say hello to Sean Devaney. Sean's covered the NBA for he and I, we've been talking for probably at least 10 years about the NBA playoffs and the NBA finals. So, Sean, it's always great to catch up. Give me your thoughts on how this has gone for the NBA. The bubble looks like it has worked well so far. What do you think?
Yeah, I think certainly from a medical standpoint, it's been terrific. I mean, there's been almost 400 people down there and no COVID cases. So they've been very effective in terms of their quarantines and the rules and regulations that they have. When you go out, you got to quarantine before you come back in. You got to pass a certain number of tests. They've been very careful, and they've kept the infection out, and that was goal number one. So that part of things has gone well. Obviously, there's been some other things that have been rocky. With the boycotts from 10 days ago, and I think that is symptomatic too of just some of these guys need a break. So this is definitely wearing on some of these guys, and it's hard to feel bad for them. They're millionaire athletes. I get all that, and it's not like they're staying in tents. They're staying in a Disney World resort. But I think the repetitiveness of it, having been for a long time without their families, some of their families just coming now, I think that has worn on them. I was talking to Udonis Haslem from the Heat the other day, and one thing that he said is, the first opponent you have to play is the bubble. That's the first thing you have to defeat, and a lot of guys are going to get defeated by the bubble. And I think we've seen that, but the teams that have been mentally tough, those are the ones that are sticking around and are in pretty good position right now.
Sean, you mentioned Miami, and even though they lost yesterday in overtime to Milwaukee, do you feel like they've been the best team so far in the bubble?
They've been the one that has really pulled it together. I mentioned the toughness. They've certainly displayed that. I think coach-wise, I think Eric Spoelstra is doing as good a job as he's ever done with this team. He's just so good at adjustments. He's so good at picking you apart and finding little weaknesses that he can exploit with the guys that he's got. And they've got a pretty good variety of options. They've obviously got some very defensive-minded guys, but on the other hand, they're able to spread you out offensively with guys like Duncan Robinson and Tyler Herro. Guys who can knock down threes. They've got Bam Adebayo in the middle, who can really run the offense through him, and they like to do that. And then, of course, you've got Jimmy Butler, who's just been such a terrific closer for them. They've had all the pieces They weren't a terrific regular season team, but in the bubble they have been. They've certainly shown that mental toughness that I was talking about.
Sean, I'm going to stay with Milwaukee and Miami here for a minute. Milwaukee was able to hold off elimination yesterday with a win over Miami. How concerned should we be about Giannis's ankle now heading into tomorrow night?
Yeah, I think very concerned because, he tried to play through it. You know, he went out there and good for him for making the effort, making the attempt and realizing that this was obviously a must-have game. Everything, you're down 3-0, everything a must-have from here on in. He certainly gave it all that he could. It's hard to imagine that in the span of 48 hours, it's going to miraculously get better. So I think I'd be very concerned. You obviously don't want to put him out there and risk a more significant injury. It's going to be tough to keep him off the floor, no question. He's going to want to play. But it's hard to imagine that it's going to get significantly better between now and when they go out there for Game 5.
So the big debate last week started with Richard Jefferson's comments on Giannis about that he's a Pippen, he needs a Jordan. Do you think that's the case? You know, how much stock do you put into this, or do you think maybe it's the other way around and he needs a Pippen?
Yeah, I think that's probably right. You know, that he needs a Pippen. You could say, look, I have a hard time putting their playoff failures on him. I think a lot of it has come down to the coach. I think Budenholzer is a great regular season coach and doesn't do the job. I mentioned Spoelstra, how good he is at adjustment. He doesn't do that in the playoffs. He kind of says, this is how we play. You're going to have to beat us. And teams over a course of 7 games are going to figure out how to beat you. And if they gear up their game plans just for you, they're going to figure out ways. And they don't make very good adjustments. So, he's going to take the blame because he's the star player, and people are going to say things like that. And you could say maybe he lacks the killer instinct and all that. But I think that just the talent is so overwhelming. I don't know if Chris Middleton is the right number two for him, but if he had a better number two, if this was Miami and he had Dwayne Wade, then I don't think we'd be having this conversation. So I think the number two that he has in Chris Middleton, and really the number three as well, Eric Bledsoe, to me should be their number three, and he isn't always. He comes up short quite a bit, and he gets hurt a lot. So I think those have been some of the problems. I think it's not so much that he needs a Pippen. I think he needs better Pippins than the one he's got around him.
Sean Devaney with Forbes and Heavy.com. He's covered the NBA for a long time, kind enough to spend a few minutes with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What did you see in Game 4 that would give Milwaukee fans confidence going into Game 5?
Well, Middleton, for one thing, and he has been a pretty good playoff player in his history, but not in this series. So the fact that they were able to get Middleton going, if that's something that Giannis is able to play, and Bledsoe played pretty well as well, if those two guys are going, then that's going to be a pretty good sign for Milwaukee. I think another thing that's been a real factor for Miami that we haven't talked about is Goran Dragic, who at this time last year was in the dustbin. It looked like his career was pretty much over. He was just battling injuries and he's getting older and all that. But he's really had a revival, especially in the bubble in Game 4. So if he kind of reverts to, he doesn't have, if he's not as great as he was to start this whole bubble thing, then that gives them a little bit of hope as well, because Dragic has really been, without getting, I think, enough credit, he's really been a pretty good second fiddle to what Jimmy Butler does.
I wanted to get into the games tonight with you, Sean. First one up is Boston and Toronto. Can Kyle Lowry keep putting the Raptors on his back? They won the last two. Can they do it 3 in a row?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is going to come down to Pascal Siakam. I think Lowry can do it to an extent, but he's getting older, and he does kind of go up and down in terms of his performances. So I don't think you can necessarily rely on him. I think if I'm Boston, what scares me is that you had that game three, and obviously Toronto wins it in the last second, the last half second, and Siakam really hasn't gotten going. You know, so it's 2-2, and you haven't seen their best player play his best yet. So if Siakam gets going, then I think that's real trouble for Boston. So, yeah, I suppose Lowry could do it, but I think this series is going to come down to, if Siakam doesn't break out and have a big game coming up here, then I think Boston will win this series. But if Siakam can get back to playing the way he did during the regular season, then that's where the real problem is for Boston. And like I said, it's hard to keep a player like that down. You know, they've done it for four games. It's hard to do it for five, six, seven, and they're going to have to do that if they want to win this series.
Sean Devaney, Forbes.com and Heavy.com as well, where he covers the NBA. Sean, we're up against it real quick here. Clippers, Nuggets, that's the late game tonight. Series tied at one. Look, L.A. is, they're the more talented team here. Is this Clippers team built to win a title?
It should be, but I agree that I think what you're getting at is they haven't played like it all the time. You know, they haven't always looked like a champion. They haven't been a team that can really go for the jugular, and it's hard to figure out why. But it's been that way all year with them, so they do scare me. Talent-wise, they should win the NBA championship, but it just doesn't seem like the mentality is there, at least not now. If they can get past Denver, we'll see if that starts to pick up, especially if they see the Lakers in the conference finals.
Sean, thanks, man. Great stuff as always.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Sean Devaney, you can find him. Go to Forbes.com, Heavy.com. He covers the NBA, and he has done so for a long, long time. Jason Longshore and I, we'll talk a little bit about the NBA when we come back. We'll get into what we learned today as well before we finish up here on the Midday Show. Chris Goforth, Jason Longshore, in for Andy and Randy. Glad to be hanging out with you on this Labor Day Monday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and on the Radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, Jason Longshore in for Andy and Randy today. Andy and Randy back tomorrow, by the way. Jason and I glad to fill these seats for a little while on a Monday. Hope your Labor Day is going well. Hope you got something good planned to throw on the grill. Kenneth, I asked Jason earlier what he had planned for today. We haven't heard from you yet today. What have you got planned for Labor Day?
Well, my mom has my kids right now at her house. They're swimming, so I'm going to go back there. I'm going to have some burgers here after the show.
That's exactly what I'm doing. I hadn't got a chance to see my mom a whole lot here over the course of the summer with the pandemic stuff going on. So I get a chance to go see mom today, and I think we're going to do the same thing. I'm looking forward to being able to fire up her grill and dirty up some of her dishes today and be able to grill out. So looking forward to it today. Love to see what you've got going on today as well. You got a good grilling recipe you want to share with us? Let us know what you've got coming up on your grill, whether it's happening right now or maybe you're kind of like we are and saving things for a little later today. But what you're going to be grilling up, let us hear from you at Sports Radio 929. You can also find, or at 929 The Game. You can also find us at Longshoe. You can find us at Chris Goforth 1. Love to hear from you as always. Jason, we were just talking about before we hopped on with Sean Devaney for a few minutes to talk about the NBA, about the Big 12 and kind of the protocols that they set forth. Bob Bowlsby, who's the commissioner of the Big 12, he tells Bruce Feldman, and Bruce Feldman just put this out on Twitter a few minutes ago, that Bob Bowlsby said that TCU did not meet the established Big 12 roster guidelines for its game against SMU on Friday that was postponed. And he said, quote, "I don't think TCU-SMU will be the last one we won't be able to play. We will have disruptions." And that's Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsby. I think there's a much higher chance, Jason, of us being able to get an NFL season in and complete right now than I do a college football season based upon everything that I'm hearing. I mean, Tennessee, they were supposed to have a scrimmage on Saturday, and they couldn't scrimmage because they had 44 guys that were out with either a positive test or due to contact tracing that had to sit out. That's 44 guys, and Jeremy Pruitt elected not to scrimmage over the weekend.
It's the issue that I think a lot of people have talked about with college football has been based on the games and, you know, the decision that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 made to not play. They talked so much about the games, but then it came out that they were going to practice. That's where the spread can happen. It's not going to happen from one team to another. We haven't seen that in any sport yet. It's going to happen in practice. It's going to happen in hanging out after practice. It's going to happen hanging out in the locker rooms. And on the college side, you're not going to be able to regulate those things as easily. These guys are not professional athletes. They're not being paid. You can't really tell them everything to do. They're on a campus with other teenagers and young adults. You're going to have issues in college football. There is no way around it. The NFL could be completely different. Major League Baseball's had some issues. They've sorted it out. The bubble has worked out for the NBA and the NHL. It worked out for Major League Soccer after an issue at the beginning with Nashville and Dallas. MLS has played in markets and has been able to sort it out. Those are all professional leagues. College football will have problems. There will be a lot of games that get postponed and or thrown up as no contests. It's going to happen. There's just no way around it.
Yeah, I don't see any way that we get through this season without something like that as well. By the way, one other quick note that I want to throw out here before we get back to talking about the NBA playoffs. You know what happened 41 years ago today? What started 41 years ago today?
I don't off the top of my head.
ESPN.
Oh, wow.
Yep, ESPN launched 41 years ago today, a 24-hour sports network. And you go back, and if you're old enough, you can remember the early days of ESPN. I remember coming home from school this would have been like the late 80s, 87, 88. 86, 87, 88, something like that, coming home from school and turning on the TV, and ESPN would be showing professional wrestling. And then professional wrestling, you would get up close with Roy Firestone.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when, you know, and they used to show workout videos.
Denise Austin made a huge career with ESPN.
Yeah. I mean, they used to show during the day. They used to show workout videos on ESPN and the stuff they used to show, billiards.
Oh, they showed everything. I remember trying to figure out the rules to Australian rules football and play it in the backyard because they showed a lot of it in the mid-80s. And we never quite got our heads around it in our own version of Aussie rules. It's a great sport, and it's funny because they're showing it again now. And it's kind of come full circle for ESPN. Those early days, they would pick up anything they could. Softball, professional softball, professional men's softball, they'd air that. They'd air Australian rules football. And during the pandemic, they've had to get creative with what they've had to air this summer as well.
Well, growing up as a kid that was obsessed with football, when they used to show during the summer, they would show the Canadian Football League. And oh my gosh, I mean, that was for me as a, you know, like I say, just a kid that was just obsessed with the sport of football, to be able to come in from, you know, playing with my friends or before I went out, or God forbid if it rained and we couldn't go play, we had to be inside, to be able to sit and watch Canadian rules football. That was just the most amazing thing for me. Your favorite show on ESPN that they've your favorite thing about ESPN that they've since done away with? For me, it's Up Close with Roy Firestone. I thought Roy Firestone was always a great interviewer. He always had great guests on that show, and it was just I enjoyed Roy Firestone, and that's the one show. I know, you know, if you've seen the movie Jerry Maguire, he's got the little cameo there in the movie Jerry Maguire, But Roy Firestone is the one that that I wish, you know, up close is the one I wish would come back.
Up Close in its heyday was a great show. It's not so much a show because, I mean, it's still on. The late night sports centers when I was in college that it'd have a rotating cast of people, but when you would get Stuart Scott and Craig Kilborn paired up, those were the ones that I looked forward to because they were both hilarious and they'd both start to get as crazy with the references as they possibly could to see if the other one could keep up, and it was incredibly entertaining.
SportsCenter was great back then. It's one of those things now. I mean, I still watch it, but I'm not as religious about watching it as I used to be. One, I think a lot of that comes from the fact that now, you know, the same information I used to have to wait to try to get on SportsCenter, I can now get on my phone almost right. Instantaneously, right? So it's kind of changed things a little bit. You got any more thoughts on these NBA playoffs as we go in two more games set up for today? You've got Boston and Toronto. You got the Clippers and the Nuggets. Any thoughts on those two games being played today, Jason, as yeah. we try to wrap things up?
I want to see if Toronto can keep this run going. I mean, nobody expected Toronto to be where they are this year when Kawhi Leonard left. You know, Nick Nurse, NBA Coach of the Year, the job he's done has been incredible. And even in this series, they went down 2-0, and nobody expected them to be back at 2-2. They're playing with house money right now. And I think they're just completely wide open and free, and they're the team that, you know, with the Hawks not in it, that I'm kind of rooting for because I love that underdog story. I'd love to see the Raptors continue to make a run. It's crazy to think of the defending champs as the underdogs, right?
That is crazy to think about. But again, you go back to not having Kawhi there. I don't think anybody thought this team would be in this position, and certainly not after falling behind to Boston the way they did. They've kind of rallied and put it together. Interested in seeing that late game tonight between the Clippers and the Nuggets because, as we talked with Sean Devaney about, I feel like the Clippers are as talented as anybody in the league. They just haven't been able to quite piece it together yet consistently enough. If they ever do, I think they could run away with the West. I just don't know that they can put it together consistently enough in order to be able to make it work.
Yeah, I don't see them getting past the Lakers. I mean, the Lakers-Rockets series is the one that is fascinating to me with Houston wanting to go with speed and run the Lakers, and the Lakers want to go with more of that power game. And when LeBron and Anthony Davis can control games, Houston has a hard time with it. But when Westbrook and Harden can control games, the Lakers have a hard time with it. It's a great matchup for us fans. Because it's two teams that play really differently.
We'll come back. We'll give you our takeaway of the day, and we'll wrap it up after this. Chris Goforth, Jason Longshore, in for Andy and Randy on the Midday Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.